The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 10th chapter, text number 49, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on May 26, 1994, at Radhadeshan, Belgium. This is a continuation from tape number 571.
And some of them are mentioned here. So, Prabhupada, in the purport, he encourages us that this is not monopolized only by a set number of persons, but anyone can enter relationship with Krishna. He says, Krishna can become the director and spiritual master of anyone who is serious about getting the mercy of Krishna. So, he's referring to them saying that Krishna was the personal guru of the Pandavas. So he can be your guru, Krishna. Then you have the best guru. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam dami buri yogam tvam yenamam upayantite. Krishna says, if you try to approach me and worship me, then I become your guru in your heart and I teach you how to come to me. But, Prabhupada says, Krishna does not become the direct spiritual master unless one is fully trained by his representative spiritual master. The Lord's representative spiritual master should not be considered an ordinary human being. So, to say that Krishna is my guru, we should all think like that. And therefore, even the Diksha Shiksha guru, he's also in the Krishna category of Krishna as Krishna's servant. What does Prabhupada say? He's the Lord is Bhagavan, the supreme personality of the worshipable supreme personality of Godhead, and the spiritual master, he's the worshipping Bhagavan, or the worshipping personality of Godhead. He's Krishna. He's an individual soul, not Vishnu, but because he's worshipping Krishna thoroughly, then he's accepted as good as Krishna, and he's called the worshipping form of Krishna. He's Krishna as Krishna's representative, Sakshat Hari Trinasa Master Shastra. So in that sense, by following our guru, we have Krishna as guru. Because our guru, he only teaches what Krishna says. And then, through that service to our spiritual master, then we get access directly to Krishna in the heart. So Krishna is our personal guru. No one else is our guru. And then you can have a relationship with Krishna as friend. That's a particular rasa, of course, in the liberated stage, Sakya Ras, like Arjuna had. But it doesn't mean he's the only one who has Krishna as his friend. But Krishna is the Suradam Sarvabhutanam. I am the friend of all living beings. Prabhupada says that Krishna wants to be our friend, but we don't want to be his friend. We don't want his friendship. You say it bluntly like that, it sounds terrible, but that's the terrible situation of the jivas in the material world. Krishna doesn't, he's not like someone who has no friends, that he should want us to be his friend. But he's so loving to all living beings that he comes in different ways and says, I want to be your friend. The supreme all-attractive person wants to be our friend. And we say, no, I don't want to be your friend. I want to be the friend of Maya. I want Maya to be my friend. So this is open to us also, the offer of friendship by the Lord. And he says here, he's your friend, your cousin. Well, that may not be possible at present to have a family relationship with Krishna, like they do. But we're in the family also. Prabhupada says that our gotra, our family line, is Achyuta gotra. We're in the family of Achyuta or Krishna. So that's our family, not some other family. We're in the family that we're the children. Aham bija pradapita. Krishna is the father of everyone. So he's our guru, he's our father, he's our friend. And he's heart and soul. It comes from the Sanskrit word is atma. The very self is my very self. That means that I love Krishna. He's my protector. I don't turn to anyone else. Now, the last sentence in this purport is very special. In Prabhupada's own expression, he says, a pure devotee of the Lord is always with Krishna through thick and thin. His way of life is Krishna. So consider what that means. The pure devotee of the Lord is always with Krishna through thick and thin. That's an idiomatic expression. Thick and thin means good times and bad times. Or what is another one? Lean, feast and famine, or lean times and feast times. So life is like that. Sometimes there's fortune in our life, and sometimes we're deprived. So much suffering goes on. So those persons who go through these things together and are always very close, that may be like husband and wife, or there may be some friends who throughout their life, maybe join the army together and go through the war, and their families are close throughout their life, and they share different kinds of troubles that come, and then good times. So they're always together through thick and through thin. And that kind of relationship, it becomes so strong that there's never a question of it, when it's really friendship like that, of breaking up over some petty rivalry or anything like that, because the two friends are sworn to such allegiance, and they can they work out any difference, and it becomes very strong. So if there are examples of that in the material world, the real relationship should be with Krishna. Not just that he's only turned to, we call, a fair-weather friend, that you pray to him and you feel close to Krishna in good times, but you feel distant when you're having bad times, or only when you go to the church or temple, you think about Krishna. He's not, like, really part of your life when you... They go to church or temple to be with Krishna because they feel some obligation, but then when they want to relax, they don't want Krishna around because... You know, you have to be so formal with Krishna and bow down to him and everything. Or when they want to go enjoy, they don't want Krishna around. But when they're in trouble, maybe they want Krishna around and so on. But the thick and thin means that you always want to be with Krishna and you want to share everything with Krishna. That's nice. And you want Krishna to understand you. You know he does understand you. And you certainly want to be near him when there's danger. So this other phrase, his way of life is Krishna. Like Srila Prabhupada, there's nothing non-Krishna about his life. His whole life was service to Krishna. This is why the Lord stayed at the house of the Pandavas. Because why he stays in the heart of the devotees and reveals himself to them, because they always want to be their very life is Krishna, and they always stay with Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has given us all opportunity to live like this in ISKCON, if we actually take up the spirit of it. That's what he's done. He's given us, from early morning until late at night, activities to do that bring us into that kind of intimate relationship with Krishna. And goes beyond formal religiosity, and certainly beyond all the impersonal considerations of the self as being God Develops a very personal attraction to wanting to hear about Krishna and to do Krishna's work and so on. This is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Let me read it again. The impersonal Brahman is Krishna himself, because Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the origin of the transcendental bliss sought by great saintly persons. Yet he, the Supreme Person, is your most dear friend and constant well-wisher, and is intimately related to you as the son of your maternal uncle. Indeed, he is always like your body and soul. He is worshipable, yet he acts as your servant, and sometimes as your spiritual master. So, I'll stop here. Any questions or comments about this? Yeah. Maharaj?
You said that Krishna is our friend, but it seems that as soon as we become Krishna's friend, that he seems to take everything away from us and put us into all kinds of difficulties. And sometimes we're harassed, and immediately he tells us to do so many things that we didn't want to do. It tells us we can't do things that we want to do. What kind of friend is that?
Yeah, he makes some demands. So you have to come up to a certain level to be the friend of Krishna. And therefore, for the reasons you've stated, as Prabhupada said, people don't want to be Krishna's friend. There's a bad press about being Krishna's friend that comes from the non-devotee. What you said is that the non-devotee thinks like that, but the devotee will explain all those things in different ways, that what Krishna takes away is actually wasn't good for you. And because you're in Maya, you may not like to do some of the things that Krishna wants you to do, but if you do them, they're actually going to liberate you from birth and death. He's going to take that friendship with Krishna is going to save you at the time of death and take you out of this material world. The things that seem bitter about the friendship are all because of you're so attached to the material world, and his friendship is drawing us away. Like that, your comments are like the poem by Rupa Goswami where he says, he gives a warning if you want to stay with your material friendships, society and love, then don't go see Govinda playing his flute in the moonlight, because then you won't want to be friends with anything else but him. He'll steal you away. His friendship is actually desirable for those who want to get out of the material world. So we have to, when we preach to people, we have to try to show all the good features, and perhaps in the beginning in ways that they will also think are good, to become the friend of Krishna. There's another story in the Mahabharata that one time Krishna asked Yudhisthira to accept a boon, anything he wanted, and Yudhisthira said that, I want to have great wealth, I want my armies to be very strong, and my wife and wives always beautiful, and stated all these things. And then Krishna said, why? I'm surprised. Why are you asking for all these material things on the basis of your friendship with me? And Yudhisthira Maharaj said, because in general, in the world, people have the impression that if they become your friend, you take everything away. So if I could show that by material opulence, that by becoming Krishna's friend you get material opulent, then they'll be attracted to be your friend. So the devotee is aware that people think like that. And what Prahlad Nanda Maharaj expressed was also expressed by Krishna's queen Rukmini. No, by Krishna to Rukmini, when he was teasing her and telling her why she shouldn't be married to him. And he said, the people who become my devotees, they're just beggars. And saying all things like that. And about his devotees. He was making different points about himself as being unworthy. And then he talked about his devotees, that they're just beggars. And then she reversed all the argument. She said, and as for those friends of yours, who you call beggars, they're actually the great transcendental souls, like Narada Muni and others who have given up all this material world. They appear to be mendicants, but they're actually the highest placed persons by virtue of their friendship with you. That's the value of the friendship of Krishna. And Prabhupada compares it to the value of the friendship or the servitorship that you give to Lord Shiva, demigods, that you can become very rich and everything. But that's not good for you. You have to get the karma. And Krishna's friendship will not do that. I heard Prabhupada saying in the talk, he said that if you go down to the sea beach and try to catch a fish, and he was speaking in California, he said, and you pray to Krishna, please help me catch the fish, he will never allow you to do that. So if you want both things, you want to be a fisherman and devotee of Krishna, or a sex monger and this and that and devotee of Krishna, then yes, his friendship is just going to be counterproductive. But if you're at all sincere and you keep seeing that by trying to do these two things, I keep losing out materially, I keep losing everything, then it'll dawn on you that I better just turn to Krishna and give up the other, because I can never succeed. Krishna keeps crushing it. But it's a fact. We laugh, we think this is a position of the non-devotee, but some of this may be in our hearts that we don't want Krishna to handle us roughly in his embrace or take away so many things. You be my nice friend, Krishna, but let me have my attachments. And then Krishna says, all right, if you don't want to get so close to me, you can keep your little toys. But my friendship will have to replace those things. If you want to really be my friend, then at that point his very life is Krishna, his way of life is Krishna. Lord Brahma is saying that I'm your eternal servant. As long as there's sun shines in this material world, I'm your servant, but I want to be number one in the universe. So Krishna allows him to be number one. But the gopis say that you can do anything you like, but you're number one for us. That's unconditional friendship. And when Krishna sees that, although he's independent and all-powerful, he becomes captured by that bhakti. And he can always see. He can see whether the devotee is pure or not. When that professor, who is such a nice well-wisher of our movement, Professor Hopkins, he met Prabhupada in Philadelphia, and of course he knew a lot about bhakti and different so-called saints and so on. So Prabhupada gave him a nice education in his meeting, and he was asking about different persons. He asked about some Mayavadis. Prabhupada said they were Mayavadis. The professor more or less knew that. And then the professor asked about some persons he thought were bhaktis. He asked about Aurobindo. And Prabhupada said, yes, he's a bhakta, but he's also speculator. And the professor became like Prabhupada's student, and it dawned on him, oh, he said, so the bhakta means that it's completely pure only for Krishna. Yes, Prabhupada said. Otherwise, he's not a Vaishnava. Oh, I see. It's a simple lesson. But some people think so many people are Vaishnavas or devotees, but they have some other interests. But Prabhupada made it clear they're not devotees. Devotee means no other allegiance, no other interest, just Krishna. That's the bhakta. Oh, I see. And Prabhupada said, I can feel their pulse. That someone, it's like Vanamali is here, he can feel our pulse. So Prabhupada, he doesn't even have to put his hand there, but he just hears or looks at a person, their activities, and they say, yes, I am a Vaishnava. But then he'll see whether they're actually Vaishnava. Vaishnava is 10%. Yes.
When a devotee is very advanced in devotional service and he goes back to the spiritual world and establishes himself in a particular relationship with Krishna, then like father or a lover or a friend, then he has to forget the other thing that he's not thinking of Krishna as a guru or a protector or father, chief, his friend. He does not think of his father. So then in the early stages, it seems like he has a more fuller understanding, and in the more advanced stages of bhava, then
his vision gets narrow, but the yoga maya now completely covers his seeing Krishna as God, and he enters into the that friendly relationship, and the love is intensified so many times that we can't even imagine that they love Krishna and they don't care whether he's God or not. Love him for his actual qualities and his attractive features. And also the rasa is such that there are elements like that. Krishna speaks about the gopis. There's one verse quoted in Nectar Devotion. He says something like, is it Uddhava he's talking to? The gopis, they're my gurus, they're my teachers, they're my this. I do not know what they are not to me. So he sees that there are many different things. We may think, oh no, he only sees the gopis as girlfriends. Or he only sees the boys as somebody to wrestle with. But within that relationship, there are so many things. When you really love a person, it may be like, this is my wife, or this is my friend. But it becomes actually, from this one relationship, I get everything practically. This person, although she's my wife, she's actually my best friend. And actually, she's the best counselor I have. And actually, the one person becomes everything. So it's like that with Krishna in the particular rasas. Krishna's the guru of the boys. And so there is a mixture. Not that they lose when they specialize, as you may call it, or when they enter the rasa. That would be contradictory to what you just said, that it is advancement. If it's advancement, then it's better than the beginning stages, where it's just dawning on us that Krishna is many things to us, but it's a little theoretical, and there's mixtures of material attachments to this world and everything. Then they just become mad after Krishna and simply want to play with him and give him comforts and yes. Vaguely. Sometimes the devotee wants something, and when Krishna gives it to him, he becomes so satisfied, he becomes more surrendered to Krishna. Yeah. Of course, what he wants is something for devotional service, if he's actually a devotee. This may especially work in stages where we really need encouragement to know that we do have a relationship with Krishna and that he's our well-wisher, and he shows us in different ways that he gives us what we want. He answers our desires, our prayers. And then when he does that, the relationship becomes more of a reality. We feel confident that actually, I know in my own life that Krishna reciprocates with me in different ways. So it makes the relationship solid. Krishna wants to do that. He wants to give his devotees all kinds of benedictions. And then when they see it coming about, they become very confident. Prabhupada used to, we don't think that Prabhupada had like an immature relationship with Krishna before he came to America, and then it became more mature. But it manifested more and more the potency of the devotee, and he used to preach like that. That I can say from my own experience that Krishna gives his devotees what they want. So I came to this country, America, with 40 rupees. He said, now I have 40 crores. So he would indicate that Krishna is... I've seen that Krishna gives me all these things, whatever I want. I don't have anything, but Krishna gives us. We don't have any business in our temples, but all our maintenance is being taken care of, and men come forward. So that was in the spirit of what you're saying. He was saying that we get encouraged when we see that Krishna is facilitating our spreading of Krishna consciousness. That's one aspect of things. But the other example is Dhruva Maharaj wanted something material and Krishna gave it to him, and then Dhruva didn't feel encouraged, but he felt bad that I had a chance to see Krishna and I asked for something material and I got it, and now I feel bad that I should have asked Krishna just for devotional service. So if one becomes enlivened after getting a benediction by Krishna, it must be that it was a spiritual benediction, or else the devotee would think it over and think, why did I ask for that? I cheated myself. Yes.
You said that the Krishna is the source of everything. So does it mean that he creates everything out of himself from the spiritual substance of which he is composed? Or does it mean that he creates out of nothing? Or does it mean that he was unmanifested before and then becomes manifested?
There's several times in the Bhagavatam, the example is given, Krishna is compared to a spider who creates from himself, the spider out of his body, he creates the web, and then he plays on the web, or uses the web, and then when he's finished, he winds up the web. So Krishna is described like that, so that everything is coming from himself, from his spiritual, not from nothing, but from his own energy. So Krishna is eternal, and his energies are eternal, and sometimes he uses them to create the material world or to wind up the material world, and his spiritual energies always maintain the spiritual world. So you have to think that Krishna is coexisting eternally with all his energies, not that like these primitive ideas that once God was there and then he thought, let me create this and then let me create that, and out of nothing they were created. But these Krishna and his energies are eternal. Yeah.
If he newly creates things, then how can it be eternal?
You've got all these stumper questions. What was that?
If he newly creates something, or expands something, then how is it eternal?
It's eternally expanding. Anandam buddhivardhanam. It's not eternally static, but it's eternally increasing. It's not contradictory to eternality that it's increasing and changing. That's the nature of eternality. You think eternal just means something that never decays and like a, but it's flowing, fluid, increasing, blissful, new. You can't just think intellectually of some definition of eternal by some mental process or some philosopher's concept of eternal and try to impose it on the eternal spiritual world as we hear it from the Shastra. Whatever the Shastras describe as the nature of the eternal world, to that degree that we hear it, we can understand what it is. And so it's described as always new and changing, but it's not change like in the material world where change means death, ultimately decay and death. So try to think of eternal like that. It's not like a tableau in a wax museum. It's getting late. Take one more, Ms. Mataji.
You were saying that there was a story of the Brahmana who was reading the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita ultimately.
Mm.
Probably there are many points which are important, but can I understand that because the Brahman was doing what his guru said, although he didn't know how to do it, therefore he came to that falling ecstasy, or is it, was it his credit because he cannot get it from himself?
Like you say, there are many instructive points, and that's certainly one of them, that he was so faithful. Prabhupada used that expression, what can I do? The Brahmin said, but what? So what can I do? I have to do it. Although he couldn't do it, he was doing it. So his realization is very important, that he his realization that Krishna serves a devotee. So then you ask, but where, how did he get such a nice realization just by looking at the picture of the book? So your other point gives us the answer, that he was doing this in obedience to the spiritual master. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya deve parabhakti yata deve yatagaro. By implicit faith in the guru and Krishna, by pleasing the guru, then Krishna becomes pleased, and Krishna becomes, all the truths of the Vedas become revealed to you. So anyone who has some wonderful realization, he must have got it by serving in disciplic succession. Not that he was, if you say, oh my dear Brahman, this is a very rare realization that you got about Krishna, how did you get it? He said, well, it's just my own, just Krishna just told me. Do you have a spiritual master? No, I have no spiritual master. But yes, I have every day I practice what my spiritual master told me, and though I cannot read, this vision comes to me. So it must be that Krishna is pleased with his service to his spiritual master. At least that instruction is meant to be taken up by us. All right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.